Dig your cleats in. Get your peanuts, Cracker Jacks, and IPAs ready. This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
The pitch from Acevedo. A drive deep to right field. Down the line. The Mariners win this game 2-1. The dream lives. They're going to the playoffs. The drought is over. Cal Raleigh. Wow. Hey now. Hey now. Hey now.
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
Yeah. That's not going to happen.
Shut up.
And Rutschman will hit a fly ball here. Deep center field. And so long. Adley Rutschman with a moonshot to center field.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher. This is the Hot Corner on the Odyssey app and 1080. The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for a Must Be A. Did you like that?
Tuesday?
I already screwed that up. I promised I wouldn't do that.
Were you about to throw out the Wednesday there?
Without a doubt.
Hey, you know, old habits die hard, all right?
Without a doubt. Hi, happy Tuesday.
Sup? You could just save yourself and say, hey, it's Wednesday Eve. I throw that on the end. I personally think that you should just keep saying it to throw people off. So when they're listening to the show, they're like, wait, hold on. What day is it? Then they look at their calendar, and then they realize it's still Tuesday, and then they just get even more pissed.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. That really threw me off. I started a new job, and so today is my Friday.
Congratulations.
And I don't know where my headphones or microphone condom are.
I don't know what to do with my hands right now.
So I am just an absolute hot mess.
You're right a mess now. Yeah, this is one of the few times I've seen you without the old Apple ear pods with the wire in them. You probably had those the entire length of this show's
I think so
history.
I think so. I keep I make a list every year of like what I want for Christmas and my birthday, and I've got new headphones on that list, and I have not deleted them. Let's put it that way.
You have new headphones on your Christmas list?
Oh yeah.
I don't believe that.
Well, this is why I don't love gifts, because they tell me, can you make me a list? And then I make a list, and they're like, well, that's kind of boring. I don't want to get you that.
New
clothes
hangers.
And it's like, do you know that if you get me this on my list, I will be so ecstatic? Oh, but you aren't ecstatic enough to give me that.
Doesn't matter, as long as you use it. It's kind of the point, right? How about a new leather braided belt?
Yeah, like, here's a wallet. Here's a new wallet. Do you know that I haven't used a wallet in about 10 years?
How many wallets you guys got in the back of the drawer?
Living ballsy.
I just donate them.
Yeah. Living ballsy there, my friend.
No, dude, it's right here on my phone.
Ah, you roll what? I mean, you do have the phone on you.
Yeah. People are like, well, what happens if you lose your phone? It's like, well, I don't lose my phone.
Well, you lost your headphones.
I think they're at home.
I think. Keyword there.
I know. I almost went.
You better pray.
I almost went and looked in the back of the car, like in the trunk of my wonderful Vancouver Ford purchased Bronco Sport.
Oh, God. Here he goes again with the endorsement plug here. They're not going to give you another one, okay? Hey, they might.
But I was like, oh, maybe it's in the back. No, it's not. So I didn't even look. I hope it's back there. And it was like, shame on me.
Well, back in the working world, we'll get you all flustered like that, my friend.
Dude, I am an absolute hot mess.
Good. Good.
It is nice to work again, though.
I'm sure it is. It's definitely a level of anxiety that sucks when you're not working.
Well, my wife really likes it.
I'm sure.
She's really happy.
I'm sure. Yeah. Actually, you know, I won't say it on air, but little birdie told me that we might be doing a little something at your work here in the next couple months.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, not related, maybe related to this station? I don't know. But,
all right. Yeah. Well, do it on Wednesday or Thursday where I don't work. That would be rad.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think it will probably be one of those days. So
yeah.
We'll be working your ass off.
All right.
You'll be getting those tips.
I'll give you a tip.
Just
I don't even
slap right in the face.
I don't even make tips. So like,
no, you get everybody's tip.
Oh yeah, okay.
That's what it is, right?
Oh yeah, just the tip.
All the tips.
All the tips. All
you
the
split
tips.
The tips? No, I wasn't trying to be as dirty. But.
I'm in the upper level, man. I get paid the same
That's
no
why I
matter
say,
what.
He gets all the tips. He just collects all of them. He says, you give that to me, you give that to me, that's mine, that's mine.
What have we done here? I don't even have my glasses on either.
No, last week...
I got these over-the-ear headphones that are, like, massively echoing.
You look better than last week, I will say. I mean,
really?
You didn't have a hat, you didn't have your glasses, you had, like, a button-up shirt.
Let me tell you about last week.
It was so bad, they took the video off YouTube.
I got home last week, and I walked in the door, and I was like, man, turned to my wife, and I was like, God, I don't feel very good. She was like, well, do you have too much beer today?
Oh, dude.
And I was like, no, I was actually a good boy.
Right after the show, you went home and you're like, oh, I don't feel good.
Yeah. At 10:45, I threw up.
Yeah. And then you
and
text me.
And then again at 12:30, 2:30, 4 o'clock, and 6:15.
Yeah. And then I text you, or you text me the next day saying like, hey, I'm sick, just a heads up. And I believe my response was, are you peeing out your butt?
And I said, not yet, but it's coming.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and I was in bed all day Wednesday.
Well, luckily for me, I did not have to do any of that. I avoided your sickness, so I hope it was something that you ate.
I sat at the dinner table.
Selfishly.
I sat at the dinner table with the kids, and the question was, if you had a genie, you get 3 wishes, normal genie rules, what are your wishes? And I was like, well, I wish I didn't feel so bad. Also, the earth is dying. So I really hope we can fix that. And yeah.
Mix in with some of those.
I hope I can eat this dinner. Fast forward a few days later. And we took the kids out. We're on a little hike. And our 2 girls, who are 11 and 9, our 9-year-old looks at the 11-year-old and goes, can you believe it? Isn't it crazy that the world's dying? And the 11-year-old's like, I know, right? We're going to have to do something to try to save this.
What did you do?
I was talking about climate change and like global warming and stuff like that. And just these fun little wide-eyed kids are
you just
like...
just crush their earth.
No, they weren't crushed. They were just like, what are we going to do about this?
No, you created like 2 Greta Thunbergs.
Yeah, and like, what are we going to do with this?
Young
like,
activists.
I can't believe the world's going to die. Look at it. We're on this hike. It's so beautiful. Indoctrination is what I call it.
Well, they sound like adult stoners. Like, look at it. It's so beautiful. I can't believe the world's going to die. But then it's so cute when it comes out of the word, like the ears of 10-year-olds. Like, oh, okay, I that makes sense.
Hey, sounds like I'm doing my job. Watch. They'll
it's
vote for
over!
What they're saying about the earth.
Before I know it, they'll be like voting for RFK, and then I'm like super hosed.
Hey, if Aaron Rodgers is on the ticket, bro.
All right. Well, before we get into stuff, we do got to clean up some business here and do kind of dive into this. We've talked about it as a station on a whole over the last week or so, as this show has had its first opportunity to kind of chat about it. We're going to talk about Mike Lynch here for a moment. Mike Lynch is one of my nearest and dearest friends. Mike is one of the most amazing people you've ever met. When I first got hired here at the station, they said, you're going to do a baseball show. And I was like, oh, that sounds fun. And we're going to put
whether you like it or not.
We're going to put you with Mike Lynch. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, does Mike Lynch like baseball? And the answer wasn't just yes. The answer was, does Mike like baseball? Yeah. But Mike and I grew. We became very good friends. We did this show for a very long time together. We had a very successful podcast, the Beers on Us podcast. Shout out to all those listeners. Mike is the witness on my side on my marriage certificate. Mike is a very, very
dear... See, I did not know that. I know he was in attendance, but I might have heard that at one point, but I completely forgot. But how about that?
My wife and I tried to take the advantage of having a wedding, and you have your, like, wedding party, your groomsmen and your bridesmaids and stuff like that. And we knew that there was a lot of people that meant a lot to us that couldn't fit into every category. So we tried to find people that could...
different roles to fill.
Yeah, be a part of our special day and do special things. And I chose Mike to be my witness. His signature is on my wedding certificate. Mike is battling ALS. ALS is one of the nastier things out there simply because we don't really know why it exists. We don't know why it happens, and we don't know how to fix it. So Mike is out there. We've got a GoFundMe that you can find all over our Twitter accounts and stuff like that. I am not on that, so I'm sorry I can't give it to you. But I'm happy to mention that they had a goal of raising $15,000, and they are almost at $42,000. So that is a huge thank you to you fan listeners, you supporters in the city of Portland rallying together to help Mike with it, with just an impossible task. And I sit here and ask for your support and your help, whether it's monetary or just emotional. I text Mike, I think it was Black Friday. I got this great story. I was out shopping. We were doing some shopping, some Christmas shopping, me and the wife. And we went to this cool, the Paper Source over on 23rd, not far from the station here. Great little place to for like some Christmas shopping. It was really buzzing. And they, of course, they had the token small Jewish stand over there in the corner because it was all Christmas stuff. And I saw these little cocktail napkins. And it
Orange
had a,
Julius?
And it had a menorah on it, and it said, "Let's get lit." And so I took a picture and I sent it to Mike, and I was like, "I love you. I miss you. Let's grab a beer." And that's when Mike kind of told me what was going on. So I've known for a little bit, and it's just strange how the world works in mysterious ways. If I could trade places with Mike right now, I would. Mike is 10 times the human I am. And so we sit here and we reach out to you guys to help him out. He's got a long battle ahead of him, but if there's anybody that I know that can do it, it's got to be Mike. I did tell him that I did text him and say, "See, I told you Lou Gehrig was the greatest Yankee of all time." Yeah. I think he laughed, but then I told him I'd buy him a jersey.
Get him a Lou Gehrig jersey.
Yeah, get him the number 4, and Mike, that's your new favorite Yankee. I also think he might be the greatest player of all time. So,
well, I watched a ton of Lou Gehrig in my younger years. I can tell you about all of the games that, and all the time I watched him. Yeah, I mean, me and Rashad.
You're no different than me, Joe.
Rashad and I, we talked about it on Sunday. I just retweeted on the 1080 The Fan Twitter X account, whatever you want to call it, Mike's tweet from Friday where he talks about what's going on and has a link to his GoFundMe page. Dude, it's just, it's unreal. It's hard to wrap your head around. I think I said that to Rashad the other day, and you know, this was the first show that I got put on. I was put on Sports Sunday in 2020. I've been with you and Mike on this show since 2015. Just green, fresh out of college, not knowing what the hell I was doing. And, you and Mike welcomed me with open arms, and being here Wednesday nights with you guys and seeing Mike's knowledge of the game, as I mentioned on Sunday, one of the best voices that we've had on 1080 The Fan, just that booming
voice.
Excuse
me, he looks really hot.
He is really hot. I will agree with that. And quite the metal singer as well.
Yeah!
And also this is actually timing with March Madness.
Unshining moment.
But I mean, Mike off air was just, he's always been the nicest guy. I mentioned on Sunday as well is that like whenever I brought Joey into the studio, he would talk to him as if he was a normal human being rather than just like a child. And then they would usually talk about soccer, and I was the odd man left out of those mm-hmm. conversations. So, our Yankee Oriole AL East conversations, our Big East conversations with him being a Syracuse grad and me being a Pitt fan. I mean, just pleasure working with him all these years with him and just seeing him go through this just absolutely sucks. Hearing from it from you and Rashad, you guys obviously having that straightaway contact with him and kind of getting the lowdown over the last few months has just been terrible to hear. And hopefully that this fundraising effort that has begun is it's not going to stop anytime soon and that we just keep it going. Again, is GoFundMe. It's been retweeted out by me, 1080 The Fan, Isaac, Souk, I mean, whoever else on the station. I know a ton of other people in the community, whether they're in the broadcast community or not, have posted it to their social media pages. And I think we've got some things kind of in the works as far as trying to raise some more funds for him, because this is, I can imagine that it's just not a financially fun battle to fight either.
No.
So
Mike, love you. Hopefully we can see you sometime soon. And we're praying for you, thinking of you, and just thank you for everything that you've done, just not for me personally, but for this show. Because, again, your baseball knowledge and what you brought to this program is instrumental, and it would not be continuing on today if it was not for you. So, love
yeah,
you, man.
And thank you. And Mike's got great support around him. Ashley is wonderful. His parents are wonderful. You know, Mike had the Blazer community right behind him as well. 100%. I know he worked for a rival station,
dude,
and that's kind of why Beers on Us kind of went kaput, because I couldn't do it with Mike, and if I couldn't do it with Mike,
it's very true.
I didn't want to do it with anybody else, because, you know, we, like, presented categories at OBAs, and, you know, Mike's met every brewmaster in this town, and, yeah.
I don't know if you saw this, too. Got a donation from the one and only Iron Eagle.
Really?
500 bones, Iron Eagle.
Come on, Iron. You got more money.
I know.
Iron,
if you're listening, cough up the cash.
How much do you want him to donate?
Yeah. So keep that in your brain. Keep going with it. Mike is a wonderful human being, and this is kind of how the world works, unfortunately, is sometimes the best of us go through the worst of us. Oakley Doakley. Well, in Mike's honor today, we're going to keep pressing on. We got a baseball show to get to. There's a lot to get into today. Does this team suck? Does this other team suck? And have they built the foundation to potentially be one of the worst ownerships in baseball? We've got moves. There's trades that's gone down, but we've also got physical locations being moved. Also, elbows hurt, and that's where we're going to start. This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. 721, Portland Sports Leader, don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge.
Yeah!
Vancouver 4 text line, 503-864-6326. All texts to the fan are via the Vancouver 4 text line. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com.
Quick note, I went to the Pickles Bar.
And how was it?
I love the decor.
I mean, the stairs is awesome.
The vibes,
the
man.
Stairs are so great.
The vibes.
I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
If you go there, the stairs starts with, you know, I consider myself a man of faith. And, you know, I've made a mistake, and then there's a deep drive into left field by Castellanos. It's going to be a home run. That's what it says on the steps going to their upstairs. That's brilliant.
Yes, it is fantastic.
That's brilliant.
They have some great hats. They have a hat vending machine in there.
Really?
So you can, like, buy hats in their vending machine. Not crazy about the price. What is it, like 50? 44,
yeah,
I think,
dude,
it was
hats?
Like for one of those, like,
are they New Era hats?
I don't know, but it was a really cool,
that's
like
about New Era hat price.
It was,
yeah,
a really cool, like, shiny corduroy felt material. Ooh. With like a cool little Portland Pickles font on it. And I liked it, but my wallet did not. So no Portland Pickles hat just yet.
Now, can we tell people about this?
I mean, we can. That's less than 2 months away.
Well, we're allowed to. It's concrete. We're good to go on it.
Locked in.
Joe and I will be throwing the first pitch out at a Pickles game on June 2nd.
Third.
June 3rd. it is the day after my birthday, and Joe and I will be out there on Pack 2 Remembrance Night.
Yes.
So if you're watching us on if you're watching us on YouTube right now, you'll see my Wazoo hat. I am an alum. Go Cougs. We'll be there for that. That's going to be a blast.
Yeah, I will not be wearing a Wazoo hat nor an Oregon State hat, but I will wear a Baltimore Orioles hat.
Ooh, I like that.
Because I will at least represent the orange and black for Adley Rutschman.
I'm thinking about working on, like, the old Gaylord Perry.
Oh, I'll go Hideo Nomo for your ass.
Ooh.
It's the long, elaborated, just
hang it up over the top. You don't want to Craig Kimbrell it and just hold the arm out for a minute.
I was going to say, should I go Luke Heimlich?
I hate that one.
Oh.
I hate that one, too.
The stare. I don't know why. He's done it forever.
God.
It works.
I wish there would be, like, a giant camera. If there was a camera on my face as I was getting ready to throw it, I would do Andy Pettit. When Andy Pettit would hold the glove over his face, he kind of looked scary on TV. I loved Andy Pettit.
I can't remember his name, but there used to be this closer.
I just said it, Andy Pettit.
No, not Andy Pettit, for God's sakes. There was a closer for the Diamondbacks.
You're just trying to slip it in there.
And he when he would like collect himself at the mound and go into his stance, he would snap his head and look at the catcher or the batter. Like it was like he would just get into that Zen mode and then flip the switch. And it was even better because he was a big dude.
503-864-6326. What pitching windup should we use for this? You know, there's the old Johnny Cueto with the shimmy.
Oh, just stand you know, on you one leg. Hold,
look back and give a little shimmy and then throw.
So you throw off the batter's timing.
But Joe, we should probably practice together so our timing is right.
I'm going to throw an Ephus.
That would be great.
Just lob that thing 30 feet in there and let it drop in
I'll,
there.
I'll throw a knuckle curve.
I just hope
one of my favorite pitchers ever, the great Oriole legend, Mike Mussina.
Just spit on the ball, throw a spitball, be a cheater like Gaylord Perry.
I'm just hoping that I get the ball there.
Advantages. All right.
Fill the
you're
air.
You're not cheating. You're not trying.
Joni Acro brought a friggin' emery board in his pocket. Well, so you could do that.
Cool. You could do the Negro thing and be like, what? As a file flies out of your, you know.
Well, and then even afterwards, admitting after the game, I do carry those, but it's to file my nails down. And it's like, dude, the ball's obviously scuffed.
You gotta have good cuticles, all right?
You could do the Harris from Major League, where he's got, he's got
he's got Vagisil,
the Crisco, you know, and if I really need to put some stuff on it or rub a little bit of jalapeno in my nose.
Dude, it was.
You put snot on the ball. Hey, I ain't got an arm like you, kid.
Okay, I got to put whatever I can on it.
So we now have a second favorite pitching coach, bullpen coach on the fan.
Yeah.
It is Arizona Diamondbacks bullpen coach, Mike Fetters.
Why
oh, Fetters.
Because this was the guy who, when he was on the mound for the Diamondbacks and other teams, he would collect himself and then snap his head back at the batter. It was like an intimidation thing.
I remember
it
that
was
name.
As if like, okay, he's just collecting himself. And then he would just give them the stare and snap his head and damn near break his neck looking at
back, 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 back.
It just keeps going.
That's what happens with your neck. You're just like,
but he was
mine.
He was a big guy. So that's what made it even better is he was a husky fella out there on the mound.
Well, you know, I'm going to have my hat a little cocked to the right.
For CC
Sabathia.
Did he go to Wazoo?
No, he did not go to Wazoo. I wish he did. That would have been awesome. I'll have it a little cocked for my boy CC. As I always do. But yeah, I'm thinking about the old, like, swinging arms windup, you know? Like they used to do back in the day.
Yeah, like old. So we're talking like the 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
Satchel Paige style. Like three or four times swinging around.
Yeah,
right?
Kind of just like, and then here's the pitch.
Oh,
nope. He's still swinging. How that wasn't a balk, I have no idea.
This makes me want to look up old-timey baseball names that we can't say on air.
We do have a lot of fun with that.
Yeah. Well, not as much fun as we could because we can't say some of the names on air. Like old P. Tebow.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah,
gosh,
yeah.
Darn it.
Yeah. Oakley doakley. Well, let's
actually. Dudes on the Cleveland Spiders with some very,
very controversial,
very
names.
Outdated nicknames on that one.
Well, let's actually get into what's going around Major League Baseball. We're first weeks in the books, or about a week and a half. I had a really fun fantasy week where I ended up losing in the top of the ninth of the last game on Monday.
Well, there's
thanks, Josh Hader. And so it's been a fun week, but not without a lot of kind of serious questions that got to be asked. If you're a top pitcher in baseball, buyer beware. That's where we'd like to start. My elbow hurts, but first, Schultzy with sports.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Coming up in the second hour, we'll get into relocation, update on the Oakland A's situation. Plus, we might get into a little bit of the Skip Schumacher thing that's going on, which is just really strange and kind of how the Marlins are operating.
Marlins suck now?
Yeah. And how they're not really being nice to their own. And just when you think Jeffrey Loria is turning the page, bam! He's got you. He's got you.
Already screwed it up with Kim Ng. So.
Yep, exactly. So, and that we're seeing the trickle-down effect. So we might get to that in the second hour. We might also get to that next week. Plus, is it time to panic for a couple teams? So stick around for the second hour. We got a lot to get to. But I want to get into this first. We've already seen the injury bug bite, and it seems to be kind of biting hard. That is the dreaded Tommy John surgery.
I thought you were going to talk about Trevor Story.
No, but geez, let's talk for a hot second. I've never been a big Trevor Story guy. He had one good year in Colorado, and I just always knew he couldn't stay healthy. But I saw that live when he dove for that ball, and Devers runs up to him and is like, "Oh no!" I was like,
"I shouldn't laugh," but the reaction was just like right away. He's
right,
like,
he just reached for a ground ball in the hole, and now he's dislocated his shoulder, and he's out for 6 months.
How many games has he played in the last three seasons? Just because he plays hard, like that sucks. That really sucks.
I'm looking it up right now.
Don't try so hard.
I mean, like.
Well, when you get a big contract, usually the natural instinct is to try to play hard there, Joe.
Big mistake on his part.
The dude.
You're supposed to not try hard after the contract.
Just relax on your laurels.
Since he's been in Boston.
A fractured glenoid.
So in Colorado, his rookie year, he had 97 games, then 145, 157, 145. In 2020, he played 59 games.
Well, that was only at a 60
or 62. That's a full season, basically.
Yeah, he did. Oh, 2020 is a full season.
Yeah, it was.
He finished 11th in the MVP. He played really well. In 2021, he played 142 games. Then he went to Boston, 94, 43, and 8.
And he signed a seven-year deal, if I'm not mistaken.
Something like
that. 7 years, 100, 120, something like that.
I'm on Baseball Reference, so I'm sure I can find it, but it's like, oof, baby. That's brutal.
6 years, 140.
I never loved Trevor Story, but that is just not cool, man. That's brutal. But what I was getting into is I was getting into the old Tommy John, my elbow hurts. In a couple really wild stories, you know, if you tell me that Gerrit Cole has to have Tommy John, I'm not shocked about that. We've heard about his elbow issues. You've seen the videos of him at the grocery store pointing at things with his non-throwing arm. Something's not right in that elbow. We kind of know that.
Breaking down the grocery store Zapruder film, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Reach for that bag of russet potatoes for me. Yeah. I'm not trying to throw this arm out.
Not with my throwing arm. So you can kind of see that stuff coming again. Like with DeGrom last year was like, uh-oh. McClanahan in Tampa, you're kind of like, uh-oh. This year has been pretty wild. Shane Bieber, done for the year, having Tommy John. That came out of nowhere. His first two starts, he was great, given he played the A's and the Mariners, which both suck. We might get to the second one later. He looked good. And then all of a sudden, it's like, nope, you're done. And he's a free agent at the end of the year. I kept saying last year and at the beginning of this year, whoever gets Bieber at the deadline is going to be a big move. I was really pulling Joe for your O's to get Shane Bieber at the deadline.
That'd be cool.
You got a stacked farm system.
Would have been cool.
Cleveland really loves prospects. They do their diligence. You'd have to pay for him, but you wouldn't have to pay too much. That I would love that Corbin Burns, Shane Bieber, and then what, like a Grayson Rodriguez and a Taylor Wells. Like, that's a legit starting rotation going in. He's done. We also have maybe the best pitcher in the game in Spencer Strider. We don't know. I am not reporting that he is having Tommy John. But his elbow's got issues, and he's got MRIs coming. He's not with the team. He's flying to California to get some looks at it. I also noticed today that Framber Valdez was scratched with some elbow tightness.
Put on the DL, or excuse me, the IL,
yep,
as well.
And that guy has been a top five pitcher in baseball in the last few years. Is this just how it goes? Is this just the guys this year are Loaisiga and Bieber and maybe Strider and Valdez and Cole? Or is this something that alarms you?
I'm sorry, is this the first season in baseball history that we've had guys get elbow injuries? And
the first
Tommy John's
ever.
That's ever happened?
Tommy John pitched last year, and they discovered this new surgery for his elbow.
Well, in the reports earlier this week, over the weekend of that, MLBPA now is trying to make this a pitch clock problem and saying that that is what has affected players when the minor leagues, the first year that they implemented it, they literally had a decrease in elbow injuries. I don't know. I just think it's like, hey, yeah, the season started and guys are now really throwing at their full velocity over 5, 6, 7 innings over extended, like, not a good way. It's baseball, baby.
Yeah, I'm with you, Joe. I don't think it should shock you too much. Like, look at Spencer Strider over the last 2-3 years. Again, we don't know if he's having Tommy John, but he's having elbow issues. But Strider and Valdez, one right arm, one left arm, these guys over the last few years have been absolutely dominant. Dominant. Framber Valdez is such an exciting pitcher to watch. Gets a little hot-headed sometimes. Obviously, we hate the Astros, so you don't really want to root for them. But Framber Valdez is amazing. Spencer Strider, the power mustache, the top of the rotation. He hasn't had great playoff success, but he's young. Shane Bieber, Cy Young in 2020. Say what you want about that. Winning those MVPs and Cy Youngs in that COVID-shortened season is a little weird, but Bieber was amazing that season. When you're that good and you put in 2-3 years in a row of that much efficiency, I just think, Joe, I think you're right. I think it's a natural progression that your arm can only take so much.
Well, what were we saying a few years ago? It's like, well, might as well just get the Tommy Johns now versus dealing with problems down the road. Like, it almost seems like it was a, how do I put this, like, well, it should be something you, if you do have those elbow problems, you should look at maybe having that done so that way it's something you don't. So is it a matter of just the way that pitching mechanics and the way that pitchers are nowadays that this is becoming more of a an occurrence, elbow issues? And then it's just like, well, I might as well just get some Tommy Johns going.
Look,
to
Shohei's having a second.
I mean, you have Sandy Alcantara, obviously. He's going to miss this entire year. McClanahan, I mean, so
DeGrom,
yeah.
DeGrom maybe in July or August.
Johnny, what is it, John Means in Baltimore?
Yep.
I mean, so I just think it's that, wouldn't you know it, here we are in 2024 with athletes that are absolutely amazing, can throw the ball faster than they ever have. I don't know if it is a pitch clock thing. I don't know if it's a baseball thing, not the game, like the baseball itself, how been, you know, that was a big thing where I don't know if it was Glasnow or Garrett Cole going on his soapbox a year or so ago saying that the way that the baseballs are now and how they have to be gripped and thrown is what's causing some of these elbow
injuries.
It was the
spider tack. Yeah. It was the sticky tack
stuff.
Thank you.
That's what it was. Yes. Yeah. So
I think that's Garrett Cole.
So if it
Scherzer, I believe.
Maybe it's a combination of all these things.
Yeah.
That is causing this to happen. Versus like, oh no, we just got to blame pitch clock because it's new. It just got implemented.
Right. They hate pitch clock, so let's blame that.
And that's why I feel like the MLBPA are trying to use that as like some sort of leverage when it comes to the next negotiations. It's like, well, you aren't really looking out for us in the first place. You're trying to make the game more a TV product, and it's to the detriment of our players. Look what you've done.
And I think if you're a Strider or a Valdez or even a Shohei to an extent, it's not the end of the world if they have Tommy John right now. It's the Gerrit Coles, the Jacob deGroms, maybe close to Bieber. The guys like Gerrit Cole is getting paid a lot of money. And that's our old trusty. And he's not 24 like Spencer Strider. He's not 26 like Framber Valdez. He's 29, 30. And the Tommy John, when you're young, you're kind of like, we expect Shohei to play another 10 years. So if he has a second Tommy John now, we're like, okay, we can eat that. But what's Gerrit Cole's shelf life right now? I don't know.
So are all these pitchers' shelf lives shorter because of, like, the recent pitch clock change? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No, nobody was saying, oh, guys, you know what? Hey, with these limited amounts of times, we may have some more injuries. No owners, nor players, nor agents thought that was going to be a problem. I don't think that's what it is. I think it has to do more so with, like, guys like Gerrit Cole just start pitching harder when they're younger, right?
Yep.
It's like max effort, not from the age of 18, 19 on anymore. It's like 14, 15, 16 on. I don't know this for sure. I remember when we were kids, they really told us never throw a breaking ball until your arm is fully developed.
Right.
And now we're seeing by the time these kids are 20, the spin rates, the increase in velocity. I mean, in the 80s, an average fastball was like, what, 88 miles an hour?
Something
now
like
it's 94. Mm. I mean, guys are throwing 100 at teenage levels. And if they're having not Tommy John surgery necessarily, but arm problems at those ages, you're obviously going to compound that. And then now, with the lack of minor league players, literally, we've taken half the teams out of this mix, so you've got less arms to work with, and I just feel like that's more opportunity for guys that have been pitching a lot longer and harder to get injured more.
So kind of on that point, the MLB, who's kind of looking into things, doing some research, and I don't know if I think this was MLB or Johns Hopkins, but only six players between 2011 and 2013 that were going into the draft had already had UCL reconstruction surgery before they were drafted. 24 players from 2021 to 2023. So, I mean, math, that's what, four times the amount of players in a same 2 to 3 year gap that are going into the league that have had UCL or elbow reconstruction surgery in some instance.
Yeah.
So, I think that's bad. I mean, I see it on Instagram sometimes with some of these kids that are posting their highlight videos of them at the pitching clinics or the pitching facilities
camps
where they're training.
Whatever they're at.
They're throwing absolute gas and they're 16, 17, 18. And it's just like, oh my God.
Can't be good for you.
I can't imagine. And it's like, were they doing that 20, 30, 40 years ago where these kids are able to just throw absolute heat at that age and they're trying to?
Yeah.
And even when they're not playing actual baseball, they're in the cage working on seeing how fast it's like, can't imagine that helps.
And now you
lot.
Want to. It's like Steph Curry. How far away can I shoot this three?
Yeah.
But this is more damage on your elbow. All right. Well, we'll keep some tabs on this. It'll be interesting to see what comes from Spencer Strider. I imagine we'll learn some more information in the next couple days. Framber Valdez might be another week or so. Gerrit Cole, who knows? I know he started throwing a little bit, just some soft toss stuff, so we'll see how that goes. We'll keep an eye on it. We'll see. Is it really a pandemic, or is it just kind of how the cookie crumbles when it comes to pitchers in Major League Baseball? When we come back, is this team bad, or are we still in overreaction baseball? That's next. Hot Corner, 10A The Fan. Can you broker a deal when you know you're getting screwed to potentially be helped in the future? Get to that at the beginning of the 8 o'clock hour, plus fair or foul at the bottom, as we always do. Shout out Bruce Hornsby.
And let me fire this off, because I don't know what it is.
He's already on top of him when he's going down. And he would lift it, and the tip would always touch. And it would make things go off.
Well, this is a good one.
But I didn't need seeds blowing my mouth away.
Yeah, one of the best things about Mike when he would talk on this show is being a producer, he always knew that anything you said could come back and haunt you again. And you would catch Mike in moments where he was going to say something that would be a future drop. And you can almost always guarantee that there was like a slight hesitation in his voice, like, uh-oh.
And then he
I've gone too far. And then he just sent it.
Case in point, this one.
I'm going to go ahead and not even be coy about it. I'm going to poke Patrick Harris.
You see the pause right there?
Right at the beginning.
I'm going to go ahead and
pause.
Not even be coy about it. I'm going to poke Patrick Harris.
Mike was really, really, really great at that. And I love you, buddy. I love you, buddy. Your Yankees don't look terrible. Congratulations.
Non si può stoparlo.
He hit a granny the other day, shockingly.
Now, what did I do wrong?
Ow! Ah!
Ow! That needs to be on the chop board. Where is that?
Guys, I got to ask a question. I don't want to get too over it. I don't know if Schultzy has any of this.
I think I know the question you're going to ask. And before you even ask it, yes, they suck.
Yeah, in our fair or foul. Guys, do we need to come into Jesus moment? Are the Mariners bad?
My dad was just texting me. They are the new Oakland A's.
Are the Mariners not good?
They ain't moving to Sacramento, so I think you got that going for
you. I got Luis Castillo on milk cartons right now.
Yeah.
Have you seen this man?
Kirby got absolutely shelled a couple nights ago.
I mean, this team has been leaning on.
Oh, yeah. He was on the mound today. And I look and I'm like, all right, it's 0-0 in the third.
Not as bad as the last time.
And then I look and I'm like, oh, wait, now it's 5-0.
No, this team's been leaning on the pitching for
if
God knows
how long.
If
Cleveland can show you can hit in Seattle, anyone can hit in Seattle.
Well, and that's where I think, and that's why when you were texting to me today, like, what do we talk about? And I was like, dude, the Mariners suck, because the hitting was something that they ran into early in the season last year.
We knew the Mariners were going to struggle with that this year.
And the bats, they aren't going, just like at the beginning of last year. But it was kind of, we saw what happened. They started clicking, and they had their pitching to lean on.
Mm-hmm.
The starting pitching has been worrisome, to say the least.
Do I argue that Bryce Miller is the best pitcher on the staff right now?
So far.
Yeah.
Gilbert's been better than Kirby and Castillo, but like paging George Kirby.
No, that's probably
like,
a true
bro,
statement.
You're my Cy Young pick. Luis Castillo, you got a bag. Like Castillo, I think it's too early. So I'm not somebody.
Well, it's definitely
early. And I'd love to check in next week, you know, on the Pirates and see if the Pirates are still playing well.
They won't be.
And kind of, you know, just check in on, you know, are we overreacting, stuff like that. Kirby could have, you know, he had a bad start. Okay, that happens. Whatever. Today, second time through the lineup, Toronto's got a good lineup. Okay, you missed it. I don't know if I'm ready to, like, bail on George Kirby. Castillo is worrisome for me. Castillo is really worrisome for me.
It's been ugly.
That's three starts, and once you get to the third, it's off the rails.
And it's not just like, oh, maybe they're just a little tired to start the year, a little overused from spring training. No, it's not that at all. They're just missing spots. It's like they can't execute, and I don't know if that's because of them just trying to nibble too much or if it's because they've been depending like on offense to help them out at all for the last year and a half. It's barely come, so they know that they're the guys that have to do everything for this team. I mean, could it be just to the point where George Kirby was on the roster almost all of last year, and it felt basically to him every game to get it done?
Yep.
Same with Luis Castillo since he was acquired, and same with Logan Gilbert since he was brought up. You can only ask these guys to keep it on their shoulders for so long. See Felix Hernandez.
Right. Yeah, and it's going to cost Scott Service his job. I mean, I would be shocked if Service survives this year, and it's not his fault. And maybe DePoto knows that. Maybe they won't get rid of him because they know it's not. But you're going to have to do something. Something ain't working.
I mean, 6.91 ERA for Kirby, 6.89 for Castillo. Those are your only two starters with three starts so far. Gilbert, 3.55. Emerson Hancock, 11.42. Woof.
I'll leave the kid alone. I'll leave Hancock
and then,
alone.
And then three for Bryce Miller.
You mentioned Bryce Miller's look good.
Bryce has looked great, Bryce but you mentioned great. It's going to cost Service's job. What about Jerry DePoto? Because Teoscar Hernandez is hitting bombs for the LA Dodgers. And then, oh, look at Jared Kelnick hitting 500 for the Braves so far. I get it. It's a couple of weeks into the season, but the guys that you moved on from, Jerry, it ain't looking good, bro.
Let's not forget you could have. I can't. I just.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
That's this whole segment for Mariner fans.
Getting higgy with it.
Yeah, I think we're a little early. I think we're a little early in the pitching woes. I think Castillo, Kirby, and Gilbert are too talented to let this get too far away from them. It's the hitting. Julio looks bad. Okay, slider away. Count is now 2-2. Change up inside, swing and miss.
And he's just letting pitches go by in the zone. He struck out twice looking at pitches right down the middle this year.
He's trying too hard, and everybody's trying too hard. You know, we knew J.P. Crawford wasn't going to redo what he did last year, but we needed something. Haniger looks solid. Haniger looks like a nice piece there, but Polanco's kind of been a little disappointing, especially in the field.
Kudos to Ty France. He's remade his swing. I think he's hitting like 330 so far, but him, Rojas, and Haniger can't do it by themselves.
No.
Do you want to know who has given up the most runs in the American League?
I'm going to go with the Seattle Mariners.
Well, you'd be right, my friend. This is Seattle Mariners segment. And yes, they have given up the most runs, according to ESPN.com.
And the bullpen doesn't look great either.
It's rough.
So you have playoff aspirations, a sniff of maybe an ALCS, maybe. And bro, you look like you're in a dogfight with the Angels.
We're literally
A's.
We're literally 7.4% through the MLB season, but not the best 7.4% sample size.
Guys, I'm telling you, they've been on a bullpen house of cards, essentially. It's looked like genius, pure genius to the rest of baseball, how they're just able to pluck guys like Gabe Spire, Taylor Saucedo, Penn Murphy last year out of like the minor leagues, and then they'll come throw a 2.5 ERA and get you games done. But you can't keep replicating that success.
And I'm not touching Munoz in a fantasy league. All right, coming up, we got a loaded second hour. Let's get into relocation, Sacktown, what up? And also some other news and notes, plus fair or foul at the bottom of the hour. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. It's the Hot Corner. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris, 1080 The Fan.
Championship is being played this week.
Tom, I'm standing here with the little sluggers and some of their parents, and I can't tell you how excited they are.
This is the Hot Corner.
Little Stan March is the pitcher for the South Park Little League team. Mr. March, you must be very proud of your son. They've worked really hard to get here, Chris, and, you know, I don't like to really trash talk, but I don't think Denver has a chance.
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
Oh, well, I'm sure some of the Denver kids' parents would disagree with you.
And oh, yeah! Oh, yeah! South Park is going down! There ain't no way some little mountain kids can beat Denver! Not with my son on second base!
On the Odyssey app.
Oh, looks like we got some parental trash talking going on here. Mr. Marsh, any comment? Well, I think that there's a...
Mr. Marsh? Who wants to hear from a Mr. Marsh? I am the ultimate Little League trash talking father. I am the Bat Dad! Bat Dad knows no fear!
And 1080.
Bat Dad knows no pain! I want you, Marsh! I want you!
The Fan.
You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around.
Welcome in to the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you're missing the first hour, you can get that at the Fan Podcast at 1080thefan.com or the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Soon to be pressed on vinyl. I feel like that's doing too much.
80 gram, 180 gram.
Yeah, I googled that the other day, how much it costs to make vinyl records of something, and not cheap.
Yeah, if you cut a record and you were like, not I want to make cheap 35 of these and sell them at my shows. No, it's not cheap.
Also not environmentally friendly either.
No.
Oh, we're going that route, huh?
Well, we live in Portland and people will bitch if you don't.
Well, I live on planet Earth.
I think
that's why I care.
If you have Dutch Bros in there, Schulte, I guarantee you have a plastic straw. Okay, how dare you?
Plastic.
How dare you with your plastic straws?
You guys are right. I hate paper straws. I'm not the one that would care. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm just a voice of the people.
Not to get you say I hate paper straws. I hear I hate turtles.
Not to get on my high horse or anything, but it cracks me up when they're like.
As he gets on his high horse.
Oh, yes. I will be climbing up. But they tell us not to use like paper straws and stuff like that. Meanwhile, like China will build like skyscraper cities with like 20, 30 giant buildings. And then they're like, well, tear them down.
That didn't work.
Well, yeah. I don't think anybody's going to live here anyway, so just tear them down. I'm like, all right. I don't think that. I mean, how many paper straws was that? Okay.
You know the best way to avoid.
What's going
to
happen with all these eclipse sunglasses?
Well, they're going to be recycled.
Oh, yes. I'm sure. I'm sure they all went into a recycle bin.
Yeah. I had something to say, and I've just.
Sorry. I threw you off with the eclipse.
You have three wishes. Well, I wish the world wouldn't die. Now, welcome to this. Oh, I know the easiest way to get away from paper straws if you don't like paper straws.
Paper or plastic straws?
Either.
Just straws in general.
Just don't use straws. Yeah, I don't use straws. I hate straws.
Just raw dog it.
Straws are terrible.
Yeah. I can't. I got a frozen drink, so I raw dogging this would make it all end up on my face.
It hurts my teeth.
Think of your life. Think of your choices.
And Schulte, how dare you use a straw?
Sorry, guys.
How dare you use a straw? It's one of them thick ones, too. It's gonna, killing sea turtles.
I was going to say, end up in a turtle's nose somewhere in the Atlantic.
Not those, like, average-sized turtles, but, like, the big ones that are in danger.
There's going to be a turtle that has lived for 150 years that's going to meet its demise because of your damn plastic straw.
It's thick and it's long, and that's probably not
and
a good
gonna
idea.
It's going to end up in a nose.
You're just trying to slip it in there.
All right, well.
How pissed would you be if you're that turtle? Like, I've lived this long. Am I avoiding this many
sharks? I'm 130 years old on the Galapagos Islands.
And this is what gets me?
And Schulte's damn Dutch Brothers sugar concoction is what kills me.
Son of a bitch.
I haven't even gotten laid yet.
150-year-old virgin, huh?
I'm saving myself. Saving myself to save my race. Save my species.
You know that sea turtle females, they never actually get to meet their young?
Yeah.
Because they just lay the eggs on the beach and then they're like, yeah, best of luck.
That's why Finding Nemo's a lie, dude.
Avoid the crabs and avoid the gulls going after you when you're trying to make that mad dash to the waters.
Finding Nemo is liberal propaganda.
That's true.
You know, the turtle doesn't get his
You think
boy.
They're a big happy family? They're not.
They're not.
In you fact, think he smokes weed? He doesn't.
In fact, 75% of Crush's kids died within 10 seconds of being born.
That turtle is sober. What happened? What's going on right now?
Yeah! Well, we've got news. How does the Sacramento A's float off the tongue?
I thought you were going to talk about much cooler news, like someone getting called up.
Hey, man, I don't want to talk about the A's. You want to talk about Jackson Holliday? We can talk about Jackson Holliday.
It's much more fun to make fun of someone. I mean, I mean, we can just go off about my Norfolk Tides and how everybody has an above 1,000 OPS.
That's
we
so
can
rad.
Do that.
That's so rad.
But instead, we can make fun of the Sacramento A's.
The Sacramento A's, which will be known as the Oakland A's.
Sacramento A's by way of Oakland.
Yes. Yeah, the Sacramento Athletics
of
Oakland.
Make a jersey saying that just across the front.
There's some really hilarity out of this, so let's just use this moment to make fun of them. The Oakland A's have trademarked the phrase Sacramento Athletics and Sacramento A's without any intention to actually use those. Fisher, the owner, not Fisher, the host. Fisher, the owner, said that it's small venues like Sacramento is what people like Aaron Judge live to play for.
Who's that guy on our team?
Mark Kotze. No, that's the coach. That's the manager.
Zito? I'll find it. Just
give me a minute. Is Tony Kemp still around? I like that guy. Nice young black
Who's that
kid.
Guy that we just called down for having that wristband saying sell the team?
This is pretty hilarious.
Yeah, I mean,
we're at the point now
it's
where...
It's an ongoing hilarity.
We're at the point now where it's
Oakland,
just like...
Sacramento.
Okay, what are you going to do next?
Yeah, kind of.
There's
no
stadium in Vegas. There's no plan to build a stadium in Vegas. You signed a 3-year deal to play in Sacramento. What if they just become like the traveling Wilburys and they just next year, you know, after 3 years in Sacramento, they spend 3 years in Portland and then they spend 3 years in Salt Lake City. And then
I'm trying to think,
they just never have a home.
Now I'm really trying to think of like what could happen next. Like, what if the Sacramento Stadium is like just as worse as the Oakland Coliseum?
It's infested with possums.
Just running rampant. Not just like one or two, just hundreds.
It's not a good place to play or really be. I mean, how, what was it like? They said their attendance was 5,000 a game for the first few. No.
The Sacramento team or?
No, the A's before this, because they opened in Oakland.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I thought you were talking about the AAA team.
No,
the Sacramento
no.
team is pulling 5,000. I was like, hey, that bodes well for them.
They said 5,000 people were still showing up to this possum-infested stadium.
And a cascade of booze rained down from the stands.
Yeah. You know what? I'll tell you what, though. If I lived in Sacramento, I'd go to games.
I would apologize for you.
I'd go to games. Are you kidding me?
I would.
Well, there's nothing else to do.
Like a 10,000-person stadium and in comes Shohei?
An MLB team? Are you kidding me?
I kid you not. I drove through Sacramento one time on the way home from San Francisco.
I got family from Sacramento. I've been there many, many times.
And I think about halfway through it on I-5, I was like, wait, what city is this?
Oh, it's Arco Arena way down there.
My buddy was like, this is Sacramento. I was like, this?
It's like the one city in California that's large and not on the coast.
It took 5 minutes to drive through that thing with on I-5. I was like, that was Sacramento? They had a cool bridge, though. It was really yellow, like really golden yellowish, and I'll give them props for that. But other than that, I guess, yeah, if you are in Sacramento, you'll go to an MLB game to see anybody else but A's players. That's what their owner hopes.
What's the end game of this?
They're going to go to Vegas. I mean,
do we really think they are?
Yes, eventually.
Still knocking down the trop.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they go to Kansas City.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That doesn't make sense because they're not going to build a stadium there.
That would be so awesome if another team swooped in and was like, yo, Vegas.
Well, and it's not like the owner's going to foot the bill.
Yeah.
So,
like the Brewers are like, yo, Vegas, we'll swoop in. Announced the Milwaukee Brewers' new stadium started construction a week ago, and they will be in Las Vegas. And the A's are like, wait a sec. What are we supposed to do?
By the time this story, quote unquote, ends, it ends with them in Las Vegas, and then volume 2 begins with the cluster F in Vegas of just dealing with the same owner, not wanting to spend, and then the city of Vegas not really invested in the team because I don't think they care about baseball too much.
Want
to talk about a city that does have things to do, I give you Vegas.
If you're the owner, how do you wake up in the morning? Just knowing that everybody hates you.
You check that
everybody
bank,
thinks you're a joke.
You check that Gap trust fund account.
Well, no, I understand that. But why wouldn't you just honestly just sell the team and just get out of it? It's like the Angelos. Like, everybody's like, you guys are losers. Just get out. And they're like, all right, you're right. Let's get out.
And Dad did die, so.
I know, but so it's like, they're like, everybody's making fun of us, so let's just get out of here.
I hear you on that. There is some sort of, and I feel like this is we've noticed this in another sport with like the Panthers owner David Tepper. Like,
and they're not making.
He's like, I'm a billionaire and I can just buy this team and everybody's gonna love it. And I'm just gonna do what I want. And then before you know it, he's throwing drinks on people in the crowd because he can't handle the backlash in his face.
And they're not making fun of you like Mark Cuban. You know, it was easy to make fun of Mark Cuban for a while. You're like, oh, this nerdy tech guy wants to own a basketball team, but you can tell, like, he clearly cares about basketball.
Yeah.
So we can make fun of him as, like, this weird, short, you know, do-do-do-do kind of guy. But
hey, he's a shark, okay?
But he cares. He gives an S about his team. I just think that if everybody was railing on me for being a loser and not caring, I think I'd just get out.
Again, that's...
I'd just walk away.
Is there any other walk in life that John Fisher has that he has to deal with that? And I don't think it is. When you're that rich, you're surrounded by yes men and people hyping you up when you don't deserve it your entire life. And that does not work in the sports world with a fan base. Like, they can see through that BS because all a fan base wants is a winner. They want a championship and they want an ownership group that wants to at least try to do things to get to that point.
At bare minimum, compete.
And after a while, when you see that, when you see an ownership group cutting corners and doing what he's done over the last decades, whatever it's been since he's owned this team, like, again, like, you're going to throw it back in his face. Personally, I wish we did this more at Blazer games. If we noticed that Jody was in the seats, I hope some dude would be getting kicked out of Section 115 for yelling down at her, sell the team.
Sell the team. Like, what are you doing here? You don't care.
Again, well, I would much rather have a Steve Ballmer about to have an aneurysm on stage talking about his team and how he's going to do everything he can to bring a championship to the city versus a guy talking about other teams' players coming to the city to watch them.
And I don't care if you fail. You know, like, let's say Cuban never got that title. As long as you're trying, man.
I don't know. Artie Moreno looked pretty bad, quote-unquote, trying for the Angels last year.
And yeah, but let me ask you, would you rather be an Angels fan or an A's fan?
At this point, I'm not sure. You still got Mike Trout.
It's not, like, let's be real here. Like, I know they both suck, but I would much rather be an Angels fan.
But
I got a home, I got a stadium, I got a player, like, minimum. But like, also, the bare minimum
that's like
Oakland can't give you.
That's at, like, asking, like, would you rather want a pile of crap or just a turd?
Yeah,
like,
the giant douche or a turd sandwich.
Yeah, and what the Angels did last year, I'm sorry, they literally let all of their guys go that they traded for,
right,
gave up a ton of assets, and got nothing for Shohei Ohtani.
But what I'm telling you is they have a home.
Honestly,
and they have a stadium. I'm talking the bare minimum.
I get it. To me, that is almost as bad or very comparable to what the A's are going
through. I'd rather be an Angels fan or an A's fan. It's not even close.
We want to talk about
the
it.
The bare minimum. Like, you must be this tall to ride this ride. At least they're that tall.
Yeah.
That's it.
They have thrown out some bad contracts, but I'd
rather... The bar is that low.
I would rather my team keep throwing out bad contracts, trying to make something happen versus just nothing. My team did that once with Chris Davis, and then they're like, all right, we're out.
I'd rather wear a C.J. Wilson jersey every day for the rest of my life than be an Oakland A's season ticket holder.
C.J. was good.
Sacramento A's.
I'd rotate between C.J. Wilson, Josh Hamilton, Albert Pujols, Anthony Rendon. I'd rather wear an Anthony Rendon jersey.
You'd wear a Josh Hamilton Angels jersey?
Damn right I would.
He got
being an A's fan? Again, I have a team and a stadium. The bare minimum. That is all it takes.
Did they show up to support them, though, like, even when the stadium? I know it's been crumbling for a while, but, like, seriously, when's the last time Oakland A's fans went to a game?
When they were good in the mid-2000s.
Exactly, so it's been 20 years.
But they haven't been good since.
Hey, man, Mariners have had fans showing up even when they're crappy. And if you
Because they got a team and a city. And a stadium.
Well, they had a team in a city in 2009, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. And they're actually one of the more storied teams in Major League Baseball.
No. Mariners are not a good equivalent because T-Mobile is a great place to go watch a game, even if you're bad.
No, I hear that.
What I'm saying is
Oakland.
If the Yankees are bad, you're still at Yankee Stadium. If the Cubs are bad, you're still at Wrigley. Coors Field, the Rockies are terrible, and Coors Field is great. I've got a city and a stadium, the bare minimum. Oakland can't even do that.
Can I entertain you with a Justin Upton Angels jersey?
Yes, I will also add that to the rotation.
Honestly.
Rendon on Monday, Upton on Tuesday, Hamilton on Wednesday.
Throw Bobby Abreu in there.
Friday Pujols, of course, because we getting lit. It's Friday.
I don't want to turn this into an angel segment, but at what point does that just turn into bad luck? I mean, my God.
Right. Sometimes you make bad contracts.
Some. All the bad contracts.
All right, when we come back, Joe mentioned this, and I would like to get into it. Number one prospect getting called up. We say it all the time. It's the youth movement. How good could this one be, and what's the future of that team look like? We'll do that next. Hot Corner, today, the fan. Fair or Foul coming up here in about 10 minutes, so stick around for that. That's everybody's favorite. We do it at the bottom of every 8 o'clock hour here on Tuesdays. Welcome to the show. Shout out to YouTube and all you folks hanging around.
Dude, I'm telling you, the IPAs, I just can't.
Yeah, they gassing you?
Yeah, they're ruffling. I mean, you've heard me in here, for God's sakes.
Kind of glad I'm not in there with you guys.
Dude, this seat's warm.
Yeah.
This seat is warm.
I had a tasty Kolsch, though, today. I think that might be the move. The old Zeugel house.
I've switched to the Miller High Lifes. So.
Ugh.
Yes, not the Miller Genuine Draft.
No, Miller.
We figured that out.
I am living the high life, and I love me Miller High Life. I
love High Life.
Oh, my God. You can get a 12-pack for like $11. It's great.
I love High Life.
Tastes amazing.
Yeah, I think I just got to dabble in some different types of beers and not go so IPA heavy throughout the day because, again, it's just a little rough on the old tummy.
The number one prospect in baseball is being called up. And what's really fun about players in today's game, we noticed this in the NCAA men's tournament, is we are now at the age where I knew your dad. Paging Jamal Mashburn Jr. and Richard Pitino on New Mexico State. Whoa. Hey.
Jameer Nelson's son was balling out for a school this year somewhere.
Yeah.
I saw a highlight somewhere on Twitter, and it was like, Jameer Nelson Jr., and I was like, yeah, just kill me now.
And go just look at the starting lineup for the Toronto Blue Jays, and you will feel old. Jackson Holliday, the number one prospect in baseball, is being called up tomorrow, or today. He will play tomorrow.
Woo!
For the Baltimore Orioles, the rich keep on getting richer. But what I'm really excited, before we get into what we can expect from Jackson, I pulled up his old man stats, Matt Holliday, his father. I pulled up some of those stats. And my friends, we might be forgetting how great his dad was.
Enlighten me.
A very fringe Hall of Famer. But Matt Holliday, like stat-wise, but Matt Holliday is a guy that I watched. It's pretty damn good.
We think
316 home runs. He batted career .299. Pretty good. Not quite 300, but pretty good.
A lot of time in Colorado helped him for sure.
In 2007, Colorado got swept by the Red Sox in the World Series. No. Yes.
Yeah, 4-0. Yes.
Yes, they did. Sorry, I was thinking about 04. That was St. Louis. Matt Holliday that year had 216 hits, which led the league, 50 doubles, which led the league, 137 RBIs, which led the league, a
137?
Is that 137 RBIs.
Dang.
And a batting average of .340.
Didn't they beat the Cardinals by Matt Holliday not touching the plate and then getting to the World Series?
Is that when he did it? Didn't he do it with his chin?
Well, no, his chin hit afterwards.
Wasn't that game 163?
The old chin job.
Yeah, that was game 163.
I think they're game 163.
Thank you. Same year, though. Same year.
This guy, check these batting averages in 2005 and going forward. .307, .326, .340, .321, .313. He hit .286 in Oakland and then was traded to St. Louis and hit .353 and then .312.
Damn.
And then .296, .295, .300.
What were his hit numbers each season?
He did, let's see, in 05, he had .147 and then .196, .216, .173, .182 was the total in 2009 on two teams. .186, .132, .177, .156, .156.
200 is an amazing hitter.
He got a World Series in 2013. Thank you, David Freeze.
Wow.
Who
rejected the Cardinals Hall of Fame nomination.
Matt Holliday was really damn good. And I'm excited to see his kid. His kid plays short.
He's got solid jeans on him, too.
That'll be nice. Joe, tell me, do you like the idea of getting Jackson at short and maybe moving Gunner back over to kind of more of his natural position at second? Because we've seen him struggle a little bit defensively.
Well, that's because of Rowdy Tellez's fat ass not sliding into second, just standing straight up. That wasn't even his fault. No, I like Jackson at second. I believe that is Jackson's position.
Okay.
Is second base. So, I mean, keep him there, especially coming up into the majors. Keep him comfortable. And then Gunnar, I know that he played a little third base last year, but I mean, even last year, he showed that he is fully capable of being the guy at shortstop for the Orioles. I mean, that is this reminds me of the Orioles when they were winning the division, you know, 7-8 years ago, when you had Hardy and Scope up the middle. Mm. And this is just like that on steroids.
Yeah, I think the best thing about Jackson getting called up and going to the Orioles is, amigo, there is no pressure on you. Yeah. There's absolutely no pressure on you.
There's so many young guys on this roster and so many people trying to fulfill expectations and so many people that are trying to live up to what they just did last year and keep that momentum going that it's just like, dude, just do you, boo-boo. Because we're all in this together. We know we all have expectations to do great things in this team, whether it's obviously Adley, whether it's Grayson Rodriguez, whether it's Colton Cowser, whether it's Jordan Westberg, whether it's, I mean, hell, Ryan Mountcastle. I know he's kind of the elder statesman of the team, but for him doing something, I mean.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think the best part about Jackson is he can look around and he can see Gunnar and Adley. Okay, and that's probably where the pressure comes in. Like, Gunnar and Adley are so great. It's like, oh, I'm the next kid. I got to be great. But then you've got guys like Mountcastle. Funny we mentioned Tony Kemp earlier. Tony Kemp, Cedric Mullins,
yeah.
Santander. Like, these are guys that have been around for
Santander
a little bit.
Santander and Mullins, they've been on these terrible Orioles teams.
Yeah, that
teams,
they can kind of look at the kid and say, hey, dude, let the other kid shine. Just figure yourself out.
Yeah,
I hope they bat Jackson Holliday, like, eighth. Don't put him straight at the top. Don't put pressure on the kid. Like, you are right now at the beginning of a window that could be a 10-year window.
I would hope it's longer than that.
Don't get 3 years ahead.
Give me 20 years. Hell, give me 30. That doesn't make sense. But I think this is a great environment for a number one prospect because you're not coming into just a crap situation where right. It's just like, dude, please save us. Like, that was what Adley was coming into.
Yeah, it's like you're like Trevor Lawrence, hey, Jacksonville sucks. Good
luck.
For the
love of God,
hey,
please.
And a big positive for you Orioles fans this year, you don't have to give Ramon Urias any more at-bats because he has been a black hole for you. So that's just easy. Take him off of third base. I think Westerberg played third a bit last year, so you can slide him over and then just keep him and Gunnar, Jackson and Gunnar in the middle infield. It's done.
All right, we come back. It's everybody's favorite, Fair or Foul. We do it at the bottom of the second hour every single week. But first, there's Schultzy with sports. We're watching Cubs-Padres right now. It's a TNT game on Tuesday. Boy, I love that we have a TNT game on Tuesday nights.
What a concept.
And Morel just hit a salami into the second deck.
At first, I thought that was on Joe Musgrove. And I was like, damn, how did he get to the dugout so fast? Like, they hit, like, right away after giving it up.
Morel's swinging, and Musgrove's like, and I'm out.
And I'll go grab some seeds. I'm done here. But it was not him. He put all the dudes on base.
And then they pulled him. And then the guy threw this dude, Kolek, threw three pitches. And
dong.
As we used to say back in the day,
oh, yuck,
what are they doing? Back.
Mike Lynch put that together. Shout out, Mike Lynch. All right, this is Fair or Foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Without further ado, Jordan Schultz.
Before we get going, we need to figure out some different music because our show episodes have been yanked from YouTube the last 2 weeks because of copyright laws.
Probably not that. That's probably not going to work either. I've got some. Okay, thank you for letting me know. I've got some royalty.
I meant to mention that to you before the show.
That maybe, but I don't know. I would honestly, dude, that would be awesome if we could do that. I it was written by a guy. Like, he owns the rights to it. I don't know if that'll be claimed. Let's go with it. We'll keep replaying it. I don't know.
All right.
Let's. You want to hit it again?
Now it's silent.
I don't know where it is.
I'm confused.
Hold on.
I'm scared.
I'll get it up.
How
over
long
here
is
too.
This?
It's about 16
minutes.
Oh yeah. Thank you. I made this specifically for the show.
We're in the clear.
All right.
Pop that baby down a little bit.
All right. This is Fair or Foul. Without further ado, Jordan Schultz.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Do have a Mariners related question?
It's a lot
tonight.
Of snare in my headphones. I think.
Turn that down a little bit more,
as Marshall would say.
Is that better? All right. All right. Our headphones sound different sometimes. All right, guys. Mariners-related question in tonight's Fair or Foul, but we start off with Good old Mookie Betts. He is absolutely killing it for the Dodgers so far this year, hitting .380, one of the best hitters. Some people saying the best hitter in the majors right now. So, guys, fair or foul, he is leading all batters with a 1.222 OPS, that is on-base percentage plus slugging. Fair or foul, he is leading all batters in the majors with a 1.222 OPS.
1.122 or
1.222.
I've been really high on this. If you take Shohei's pitching out of the equation, I think right now, in this moment, nobody in baseball is better than Mookie Betts. I think he's the best player in Major League Baseball. I think he is a phenomenal defender. He is an on-base machine. He can hit home runs when he needs to.
Hell, he can play shortstop on any given notice.
The kid is just phenomenal. And I remember when the World Baseball Classic was coming around, I wanted the t-shirt jersey of a player, and the guy I wanted was Mookie Betts. Well, and this is why. However, I will say foul, because I do not believe, because I think it might be Juan Soto.
Oh, boy. Changing your tune a bit?
A little bit. Soto's look good. And it might not be Soto, but I don't know if Mookie in his OPS plus is leading everybody. I hope I'm wrong, though.
There have been a couple players that are off the hot starts this year. Mookie has been on fire. For some reason, I'm just going to go on a limb here and say that this is foul as well. I'm going to go Tyler O'Neill.
Ooh, nice pick. Nice pick.
He's got like six dongs already.
He broke a window today at Fenway.
And that was the only thing they did against the Orioles.
Are you looking at my sheet over here, bro?
I'm not. Let's go.
You're peeking over. You actually got it literally as correct as you could. It is foul, and it is actually Tyler O'Neill.
Let's go.
With a 1.394.
Nice call, Joe.
Hey, I feel like Mike Lynch on that one.
Yeah, you should.
He pulled that a lot. Honestly, you guys did that probably equal amount of times. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Mike, he was sneaky good at these fair fouls where he knew. He knew.
Mookie is in second, and Spencer Steer in third, Mike Trout in fourth. Juan Soto all the way down at about 24th with a 978. I just don't think he's gotten on base quite
enough. Just got really hot and bothered by his first week there.
Got all horned up on Juan.
That was sexy.
I mean, is it Nico Horner? That guy looks good.
Nico Horny.
Nico Miso Horner.
Seiya Suzuki? Glad we nailed this Cubs thing already.
Yep.
The fact that former NBA star Jeff Hornacek's nickname is Horny, just let that sink
There's
in.
There's nothing horny about that.
Not at all. Go look at the dude. Doesn't
Are
make
you
me horny.
Me?
No, I'm not kidding you. All right, fair foul number two. Let's go with another try to stump you guys question. The San Francisco Giants have been so lack at stealing bases this year, but I'm going to give you guys this question, fair or foul. They have yet to steal a base so far this season.
The San Francisco Giants have yet to steal a base, fair or foul.
Fair or foul.
That's so wild to think, because they got Bob Melvin. I mean, like, the guy's smart.
I'm going to go foul, because that just seems like, what, we're 11, 12 games in, and not one dude has stolen a base on that team.
Could have been thrown out.
That's true.
Where's my boy Jung Ho Lee?
Yeah, I'm going to say foul. I'm just trying to think of who's on that team that would even attempt to, that's like a speedster on the squad.
I'm going to say fair simply to spite Joe and have some love for Bob Melvin for not being incompetent.
You're right. Fair. It is fair. The San Francisco Giants actually have stolen zero bases so far this year. Other teams that have not stolen many, right above them, the Cubs and the Twins with two. And among teams with three are my freaking Seattle Mariners.
Well, it's not zero.
It's not zero, but it might as freaking well be, because they're not getting on base enough to steal bases anyway.
When do we start asking the question, is Bob Melvin not a good manager anymore?
Are we really? No.
We're not there yet?
No.
Okay, all right. All right.
I said we are definitely still in overreaction mode.
Okay, all right. Just checking. Just checking.
I'd rather have him in Seattle than Scott Servais right now.
Just want a litmus test.
That's just my take on it. And speaking of the Seattle Mariners, guys, their pitching staff has been absolutely atrocious so far this year. They're hitting. Yeah, we kind of know that they're up and down, but their pitching has always been a gem. George Kirby, Logan Gilbert, Luis Castillo, their top three arms, some of which people were saying are three of the best arms in the major leagues, have anywhere from a 4 to 6 plus ERA. So it ain't good. The Mariners have been leaning on that pitching for at least a season and a half or two, guys. Fair or foul, the Seattle Mariners will not be able to get a better ERA than they did in 2023. So their ERA was 3.74 in 2023. Fair or foul, they will not be able to top that.
I would envision that's one of the best in the league last year.
Top three.
Yeah. So they have to finish in the top. Well, not
no,
finish
just
in the
if
top three, but just
do you think they'll have a
3.73
or better?
I think they can. I just think there's just too much talent. Like, yeah, they might be having some rough starts in the beginning of the year, but it's April. You know, the Nationals were like 17-35 and won a World Series. I have to believe Luis Castillo concerns me, but Kirby and Gilbert, I'm not worried about yet. I mean, it sucks for my fantasy teams, but I'm not worried yet. Castillo worries me a little bit, but I think the season is young, and I think it's just the law of averages, and I think this starting rotation, because see, right now, Bryce Miller is holding it down for them, and he is eventually not going to hold it down, but Kirby will hold it down. So a law of averages, I think they will make it, so I'll say foul, right? You asked if they won't.
That is correct. You did answer correctly.
I think they got a shot.
I say fair. They will not achieve this line of demarcation, 3.73 ERA. I think
are the Orioles interested in Luis Castillo?
No.
Oh, they'd take him in a heartbeat. Don't be crazy.
No, we're fine. Just as long as he starts pitching better.
Then, now, Wells
then
or Castillo?
Then we'll start to consider it.
Wells or Castillo, who would you take?
Oh, Castillo.
Exactly.
I make radio bits here. I'm joking.
Sorry.
I'm just joshing. I don't know. I just feel like this season could have the potential of where the rubber meets the road, and that it's just like, okay, we're done here. Like, what are we doing on the offensive side? The arms that we've invested in have completely S'd the bed this year. It's time for some repercussions, and with that is that the pitching doesn't really recover from how it started so far. Again, so much season left.
Right.
But again, it just feels like they've been skating by these last couple of years with good enough performances on the field, whether it be batting, whether it be pitching, that this might just be the year where it just doesn't click together at all with this team. Maybe they get a hot August like last year, but you got to be wondering what the mood is like in that clubhouse, and I just don't know if they're going to, especially on the reliever side, bullpen side of things, I don't know if they're going to be as good as last year and also just make up for what this starting pitching staff is lacking to start.
All right, that is fair or foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. When we come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up. The Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan. Well, that's it. Have a great night. See you later.
What? Did you catch the eclipse yesterday?
No, I don't believe in that liberal propaganda to get Biden reelected. Come on, give me a break.
That's my go-to now. Whenever my girlfriend says anything, did you hear about
rapture?
This?
The rapture is
Did
coming.
Did you hear about that? I'm like, just left-wing propaganda. That new Beyonce album, left-wing propaganda to take over country music.
I'll tell you what. I heard some of that. That S is garbage. Yeah. I love Queen B. I love Beyonce. I think she is wonderful and amazing and a hot piece. But that stuff is absolute garbage.
It's unnecessary is what I feel like.
It's just...
I'm like, who asked for this?
It's like...
I didn't.
Now, there's one thing. If you decide you want to get into country music, that's one thing. That's totally fine. Oh, you want to do something different? Sounds great. I loved Gaga and A Star Is Born. That's a little country-esque,
It's a movie.
Right. But this is just like, can I get a country beat, but I'm going to still sing the same?
No. Can I get some Chattahoochee by Alan Jackson, please? Do we have that in the library somewhere?
Although I will tell you, her cover
Lay
of
down your
her cover of Blackbird by the Beatles is hysterical with all these people that are like, you know, I wish Paul McCartney would go back to stop being so woke. And this song doesn't have to be about black people. And it's like, well, it was about black people when he wrote it in 68. So
have you heard this song called Blackbird before?
I don't know what to tell you.
Have you heard of this guy, Paul McCartney?
Shut up and just play music.
I remember when, oh, there we go.
Hell yeah, brother.
Now this is real country for your ass.
Oh, God, I hate this.
You didn't know about No Chattahoochee?
No, I hate this.
It gets hotter than a hoochie coochie.
Yeah, this is a good 90s country song.
Oh, just wait. Yeah, it's a real hot lyric.
How hot is a hoochie coochie?
Way down yonder on the Chattahoochee, it gets hotter than a hoochie coochie.
How hot is a hoochie coochie?
Oh, dude, you don't want to know.
Can I say hoochie coochie on the air?
Well, we just did multiple times. This, me and Alan.
This was in our system, so it's approved.
Hell yeah.
That's not true.
It should be.
If it were put in our system as a song, then that means that it is okay.
I love that I ask, can we say hoochie coochie hotter than a hoochie coochie?
I'm Googling.
And you two are like, yeah, we're totally fine. But when I talk about Tyler Glass now throwing a slutter, both of you are like,
I'm Googling right
now.
How
that.
Hot is a hoochie coochie?
I mean, if it's in a song, you can say whatever you want, right?
What does
right?
it even mean?
I don't know. Guys, take a guess.
Yeah, people can kiss my ass.
I'm going to just start saying that in like weather terms when I'm talking to people like, dude, it was so hot yesterday.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
It was hotter than a hoochie coochie.
Just want to thank Sam Elliott for that one.
Yeah, I think we're in the clear. Again, it's not us. Blame Alan Jackson.
We're
right?
not saying one of the seven dirty words, guys. We're fine.
Excuse me, he looks really hot.
Hotter than a hoochie coochie.
I would still like to know.
Give me some B&D if we got it in the library too.
No, no.
Some Brooks and
no,
Dunn.
No, no, no. We're not doing that.
You don't like B&D?
No.
Or is it just the genre, the overarching?
There's plenty of country that I like. Tammy Wynette, George Jones, Kris Kristofferson, some Merle, some Willie.
You don't want no Neon Moon?
I'm into that. But once you get to B&D.
You song bitch.
And Alabama and Brooks and the Judds and all that, you like, that's when you lose me. Alan Jackson,
when the
you
sun
lose
goes
me.
Down, and my son
I got
down.
Friends in low places.
I'll pass
like,
on
I can't,
that.
I can't, I
you guys
just,
bet,
I just
all right,
can't.
Toby Keith better not be in that category for you.
Red Solo Cup.
I love Toby Keith.
I fill
Keith,
you
peace.
Up. This song is garbage.
Oh, you're a jerk.
Yet
hey.
I'm not garbage.
Hey, he just died, brother.
Okay, cool. Right. I'm sorry, bud. That sucks.
Who's that
almost
man?
As bad as your music did.
Also, what happens down here in
yes.
Mexico stays in Mexico. I took that line from Las Vegas.
Yeah, dude, like, this is such garbage.
Brooks and Dunn is solid.
It is. I would listen
some
to that.
Boot Scootin' Boogie.
Oh, that album on
oh,
a repeat.
Oh, they make Boot Scootin' Boogie.
That's Boot Scootin'
yeah,
Boogie.
Your mind just changed right there.
I hate
got
that
a good
song.
Job. I
no.
work hard for my
no,
money.
It just proved that
when it's quitting time, I hit the door running. Something, something.
Climb in my pickup truck, yeah. The honky-tonk.
There you
no,
go.
No, 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 no. Nope.
I
nope,
can keep going,
nope,
but I won't.
Out in the country,
nope,
past
nope.
the city limits sign, there's a haunted town. That's great.
That's how as bad they've been now.
That is the only country music that I give two American thumbs up towards. None of this Beyonce crap.
See, I'm all about the like Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard, Poncho and Lefty.
Some Waylon Jennings.
I want some Waylon Jennings. I want some Tammy Wynette, Stand By Your Man.
Mama,
you know?
Don't let your boys grow up
to
be
cowboys. See, that's good.
That's good
great.
One. I'll give you that, too.
That's great.
I'll give you one American thumbs up to that one.
I have this record at home. It's a Merle Haggard, Willie Nelson duet record. And on side A, it's Poncho and Lefty. So the first song is Poncho and Lefty. And the last two songs, one of them
Poncho,
is
Poncho, Jump On It?
One of the last two songs on side A, the first song is about why they are sober. And the second song, the next song is about why they get drunk every night. And you're like, oh, all right, we're just moving along here.
That's good album composition right there.
Yeah.
That's very smart of them.
Poncho and Lefty, yeah, they were some outlaws, and Poncho got caught, and Lefty quit and went to Ohio, and Poncho went down to Mexico, but he died. I want to, when I get older, I want to get two Maine Coon cats, those giant cats.
I'm familiar.
Yeah. I want two Maine Coons, and I want to name them Poncho and Lefty.
How long has that been on your list of things to do?
About 5 years.
Hopefully they, come when called their name, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be even cooler.
Yeah.
And hopefully they grow to just be big, big cats.
They're huge.
Oh, I know. I've seen how big those cats can get.
Yeah,
so
I want
hopefully
big ones.
They fulfill their Maine Coon, size and what they're supposed to be. Because yeah, those they can get gigantic. You all right over there?
Yeah. Well, it's why I don't want dogs. I don't want dogs because I just want Maine Coons. They're about the size of dogs, right?
Way down yonder in the Chattahoochee, never knew
Mama,
how much.
Don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys.
Never knew how much that muddy water meant to me, but I learned how to swim and I learned who I was. A lot about living and a lot about love.
A lot about love.
Damn, that's a good one. I'm listening to that.
You know, when I first started writing music, I was like, why don't I write country music? You can be such a bad writer and get famous.
Oh, it's easy.
I was
it's like, a lot of tropes.
Right, but I'd have to do country music.
Listen, I love hip hop.
Drink a lot.
I love hip hop. Well, I love rap. And the one thing that them and country have in common is that as long as you just keep writing songs about the same things over and over and over again, you'll be good.
Eventually, you'll figure it out.
You'll find a hit.
All right, that'll do it for us. We'll see you next week in some fun news. The Bucks and Celtics tonight combined for a record low 2 free throw attempts. So.
Guys, that's
stat of the day.
The
real?
The NBA has. There's a conspiracy behind this. I feel like there's multiple sources saying this. The NBA has corrected the scoring issues from earlier in the season. One of the ways they have done that, by literally not calling fouls.
All right, there you go. All right, we'll see you next week. That's Jordan Schultz behind the glass. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris.
Oh, my God, you're right. 2, 3. Wow.
Go do something I would do, like practice from the charity stripe. Put me